Today is from chapter 42. We just started chapter 42 yesterday. We're on text 2 to 4. And chapter 42 is called The Breaking of the Bow. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Udirayat Nasta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhakti Bhavati Naishtaki. Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our very means of conquest, one should first offer respectful obeisances unto the personality of Godhead Narayan, unto Naranaran Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, unto Srila Vyasadeva, the author, unto Srila Prabhupada, the translator and commentator. By regular attendance in classes on the Bhagavatam and by rendering service unto the pure devotees, all that is inauspicious in the heart is almost completely destroyed. And loving service unto the personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental song, is established as an irrevocable fact. So we're chanting text 2 today. Katvam varove tadhu anulepanam. Katvam varove tadhu Hanulepanam Kasyang Ganeva Katayasva Saduna Deyava Yoranga Vilepa Uttamam Shreyas Tatate Nachirad Bhavishyati Katvam varove tadhu anulepanam Kasyam ganeva katayasya sadhunah Deyavayoranga vilepa uttamam Shreyas tataste nachirad bhavishyati Please chant. Katvam varore tadhu anulepanam. Kasyam ganeva katayasva sadhunah. Devyan yoranga vilepam uttamam. Shreyas tataste nachirad bhavishyati. Katvam varore tadhu anulepanam. Shreyas tate na chirad bhavishyati Katvam varore tadhu anulepanam Kasyam ganeva katayasva sadhunah Deyava yoranga vilepa uttamam Shreyas tatate nachirad bhavishyati. Vaishnavis. Katvam tvarore tadhu anulepanam. Kasyanganeva katayasvasadunaha. Devavayoranga vilepa uttamam. Shiradva vishati. Anyone else? Ira, you want to try? Katvam varor etadhu analepanam. Kasyanganeva katayasya saduna. Devya vayoranga vilepa uttamam. Shreyastatecha jiradbhavishyati. Very good, thank you. Ka, hu, tvam, you, vara uru. Oh, beautiful thighed one. Etat, this. Uha. Ah, indeed. Anulepanam. Ointment. So anulepanam is mentioned a few times, well, two times in this verse, and in the next verses, the ointment is going to be mentioned again and again in each verse. So anulepanam is ointment. Kasya. For whom? Angane. My dear woman, va, or, katayasva, please tell, sadhu, honestly, naha, us, dehi, please give, avayo, to us too, anga vilepam, bodily ointment, uttamam, excellent. Shreya, benefit. Tata, thereafter. Te, your. Nachirat, soon. Bhavishyati, will be. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada's disciples. Lord Krishna said, who are you, O beautiful thighed one? Ah, ointment. Who is it for, my dear lady? Please tell us truthfully. Give us both some of your finest ointment, and you will soon gain a great boon. So it's very obvious that Krishna is talking to Kubja here, right? So he's talking to Kubja, and as Prabhu, yesterday's Prabhu who gave class, his name is Leelananda Prabhu, said he's encouraging her. So he's speaking very encouragingly to Kubja. So he said, who are you, O beautiful thighed one? Ah, ointment. Who is it for, my dear lady? Please tell us truthfully. Give us both some of your finest ointment, and you'll soon gain a great boon. So the little purport here is, the Lord jokingly addressed the lady as Varoru, O beautiful thighed one. His joke was not malicious, since he was actually about to make her beautiful. So text 3, can we chant it together? Sarindra uvacha dasyam yaham sundara kamsa samata trivakra nama hyanule pakarmani madbhavitam boja patir ati priyam vinayuvam konyatamas tad arhati. The translation there is, the maidservant replied, O handsome one, I am a servant of King Kamsa, who highly regards me for the ointment I make. My name is Trivakra. Who else but you too deserve my ointments, which the Lord of the Bojas likes so much? And the purport is, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti explains that Trivakra, who is also known as Kubja, used the singular address Sundara, O handsome one, to hint that she felt conjugal desire for Krishna alone. And she used the dual form Yuvam for both of you to try to hide her sentiment, her conjugal sentiment. The hunchback's name Trivakra indicates that her body was bent at the neck, chest, and waist. And we chant this one together, please. Rupa Peshala Madhurya Hasita Lapa Vikshitai Darshitatma Dado Sandram Ubayor Anulepanam. Translation, her mind overwhelmed by Krishna's beauty, charm, sweetness, smiles, words, and glances. Trivakra gave both Krishna and Balaram generous amounts of ointment. Purport, the incident is also described in the Vishnu Purana 527. Shrutva tvam ahasa krishnam griyatam iti sadaram anulepana pradado gatra yogyam ato vayaho. Hearing this, she respectfully replied to Lord Krishna, please take it, and gave both of them ointment suitable for applying to their bodies. And those are our verses for today. Om Agyanati Midandasya Jananjana Salakaya Chaksu Umilitam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. So it's really interesting to see how Kubja had a totally different response to Krishna than the previous people that he met on his way into Mathura. He met the washerman, who had a very negative response, but that was quickly rectified by the Lord by cutting off his head just with his hands. And then he met the weaver so after they gathered up the clothes from the washerman and dressed themselves very artfully, almost as if like Krishna and Balaram today are going into Mathura dressed so artfully. No? When you look at them, don't they look like they're just about to go into Mathura? So if you notice, there's no blood on the altar or anything, because when the washerman's head got cut off, it went, didn't get any stains on anybody, just went off. So then they met the weaver after they addressed themselves, and he had a very positive response. He was very anxious to serve the Lord. And Sudama, the garland maker, he was also very anxious to serve the Lord. And Trivakra, Kubja, when she sees Krishna, even though it's quite obvious that he's joking with her, oh, beautiful thighed one, who are you? She doesn't respond negatively. She doesn't respond, she's not offended. She's attracted. So what's the difference there? The difference there is in their devotional activities that they've performed, their devotional attitude. It's not by chance. Sometimes if one was reading, for example, just these stories and not understanding that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, if any person came up to a person, the washerman, let's say, and asked him for the clothes, his response was quite appropriate. No, that these aren't yours. These clothes belong to the king. You can't have them. You can't. Why are you asking for the king's clothes? But he had a very negative attitude because he didn't have any pious credits. Bhagavad Gita 7:15 and 16 explains that if one has pious credits, then one can take to the devotional service of the Lord, even a little bit of pious credits. And if one has so much bad karmic reaction, atheist, maya prita jnana, their knowledge is stolen by illusion, so many, the four disqualifications for surrendering to Krishna are listed there. And if those are, that stock of previous activities is so much greater, then one is not so easily attracted to the Supreme Lord. Unless, of course, there's some intervention somewhere along their line with the pure devotee who gives that special mercy. So so that one can become elevated, because if you analyze our position, what's our position? Where was our pious credits? Prabhupada said, and we all remember this quite clearly, Prabhupada said, I have created your pious, and we're not talking about mundane piety, we're talking about bhakti, bhakti unmukya, something, pious credits for attaining bhakti, that Prabhupada, or taking prasadam, or some transcendental potent activity is responsible for one's elevation. So Garga Samhita explains the different positions of those people that I mentioned, that the washerman, he had previous contact with the Lord. He had previous contact with the Lord when the Lord appeared as Lord Ramachandra. And in the pastimes of Lord Ramachandra, when Lord Ramachandra sent his spies out to find out what the people were thinking about him, his spies heard one washerman saying to his wife, "I will not take you back. You go to another man's house in the night, and then you think I'm going to take you back. Lord Ram might take Sita back, but I'm not that type of a person. I'm not going to take you back." And when that news was told to Lord Ram, that the people were criticizing him in this way, he was very, very disturbed. But he chose not to punish the washerman at that particular time. That was his, as the perfect monarch, that wasn't his activity to do. So, as time went on, so that was Treta Yuga. Then in Dwapara Yuga, he got the association of the Lord again. And that time when he spoke so offensively to the Lord, then Lord Krishna cut his head off. Now, that's not just a plain old punishment. That's also liberate. That's Krishna's mercy. Krishna's always kind. And he's always providing means and ways for his devotees to come to him. So these are special circumstances for anyone to become, to have opportunity to have association with the Lord in any way. That's special circumstances. So the weaver, he also appeared in the time of Lord Ramachandra, and he was a weaver in that circumstance too, and he made clothes for Lord Ram on the day of his wedding, and it was by the order of the king. And when he saw Lord Ram and Lakshman, he was so attracted to them that he desired, "I want to offer with my own hands garments that I've made to the Lord." And the Lord, who is situated within the heart of every living entity, fulfilled his desire. Again, it was Dwapara Yuga, some time passed, but that desire was fulfilled. The garland maker had a different circumstance. He was in the garden of Kuvera, Chaitrarath Garden, and he was a florist named Hemamali, and that was a man, and he was very pious and liked the association of devotees and heard from saintly people, and he offered for 10,000 years, he offered 300 lotus flowers to Lord Shiva. And after 10,000 years, Lord Shiva, who's also known as Asutosh, very easily pacified, he came and said, "Oh, intelligent florist maker, please ask for a boon." So that the boon that he prayed for was, "Please allow me to have the personal association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna and have him come to my home so that I can offer him a garland." That was his prayer. And the Lord, again, fulfilled that desire. And Kubja, now this is Kubja, she also appeared in Lord Ram's Leela. She was Sarpanaka. And Sarpanaka became so attracted to Lord Ram in the Panchavati forest that she immediately wanted him for her husband. And we know the story that when she went to attack Sita, who was the person that was in the way of her desire, Lakshman cut off her nose and ears. She went to Ravana to complain. And then, according to Garga Samhita, she went to Pushkara Tirtha and meditated in the water for another 10,000 years, praying for a boon from Lord Shiva. He appeared and offered a boon to her, and she said, "Oh, Almighty Lord, I would like to become the wife of Lord Ram." What's he going to say, right? So Lord Shiva said, "O demoness, your desire cannot be fulfilled at this time, but I grant you the boon that it will take place in Dwapara Yuga. No doubt your desire will be fulfilled." So here now, Kuvja's getting that opportunity to have a loving relationship with Krishna. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains in his commentary that Krishna granted Madhurya Ras relationship of Madhurya, a loving relationship with Madhurya to Kubja, but he also had Hasya Ras with the cowherd boys, the laughing, joking, because they were just thought it was quite funny, the whole circumstance. So he, as we know, he's Akila Rasamrita Murti. He can do many things at the same time. So I was mentioning these stories. They're interesting little stories, but not just for the sake of that superficial interest, but so that we can understand, or try to understand, that our intention and our desire in performing devotional service is so important. It's so important to bring the mind into the activities that we do. Bring the mind with devotional intent into the activities of what we do, because doing something repeatedly, day after day, our process of sadhana, it's possible, and the tendency is that it gets mechanical, and the mind is somewhere else, but the body's doing the whatever the activity. So these instances, to me, for a lesson that I get from these instances of these devotees mentioned here in the Bhagavatam, and particularly these four people mentioned, that the to bringing our mind in a devotional mood into our activities, the results will come. Because why? Because Krishna's there within the heart, and he's so attracted to his devotees that he can't stay away from them. And he's always making arrangements for them to come to him. So in text 2, where the Lord says, "Who are you, O beautiful thighed one? Ah, ointment. Who is it for, my dear lady? Please tell us truthfully. Give us both some of your finest ointment, and you will soon gain a great boon." So it's interesting in a couple of ways. So Trivakra, it was explained in the purport to text 1, she was Bhu Shakti. She's a partial incarnation of the earth, and then she's from Bhu Shakti, she's an expansion known as Prithivi. And it was interesting how Mukhya Prabhu read about in her reading just now, she read something about Prithu Maharaj approaching the earth, Prithvi. So this is how she gets the name, Prithvi. She gets it, the name, from Prithu Maharaj. So Trivakra, Kubja, is offering the Lord what? The essence of the earth, fragrance. Simple little thing. She didn't have to offer him piles of jewels. Didn't have to offer, she didn't have to make huge endeavors. She offered him a simple thing, and Krishna was so pleased with that ointment that he says, "I'm going to offer you a great boon." So what was the boon that Kubja received from the Lord? The boon of having him straighten her back, that's you could say the secondary boon. But the primary boon that the Lord offers her is his loving service. That's the boon. In Nectar of Devotion, after Srila Rupa Goswami, after Srila Prabhupada explains all the angas of bhakti, the 64 angas, and the results of performing bhakti in this way and taking charanamrita, what's the result of... There's a result. Do you remember? Are you familiar what the result is from accepting a garland that's been offered to the Lord? Do you remember from your... Seisha, you're a Nectar of Devotion fan. Seisha Prabhu. One of the results is that one becomes free from material diseases. So nice, huh? But that's not the real result. So let me go through a few of these. Taking charanamrita. From taking charanamrita, one is washed of all contamination of sins. And there's so many different things that are listed there in that section, all the different results. Taking prasad, one is eligible to enter the kingdom of God just by taking prasadam. So, and you know, et cetera, et cetera. Seeing the Lord on the Rathghat, I have to admit, I can't remember exactly what the benefit is, but there's some great benefit. But, so, it goes along mentioning all of those. Those are mentioned from the 6th chapter all the way up to the, whatever, 13th, 18th, 19th chapter. But in chapter 13, when it talks about the 5 potent forms of devotional service, there's one paragraph, one or two paragraphs that are often overlooked. Because what happens is that sometimes devotees will question, well, I've had a Mahaprasadam garland many a times, and somehow or other I got a disease or this or that. So are these results overestimations, or are they fictitious? Are they just, you know, whatever? But Srila Prabhupada says in one paragraph there, in chapter 13, he says, these results are not overestimations, nor are they just flowery words. But these results will happen. They just happen to happen to some people right away. They get an immediate result. So who can you think of that had an immediate result, a fantastic immediate transcendental result from doing something? Ajamil? Yeah, Ajamil, but he had to wait a while and get purified. Someone else? Prabhupada. Okay. Katvanga, well, I'm not denying all of your answers, but the answer I was looking for was the Kumaras. The 4 Kumaras, when they smelled the tulsi leaves, they were Brahmavadis, and when they smelled the tulsi, the fragrance of the tulsi leaf on from Lord Vishnu's lotus feet, they immediately changed their attitude and became Premavadis, you know, full of love for Krishna. So Prabhupada says back now into the Nectar of Devotion, he says there that the results happen to some people immediately, but don't think that because they don't happen immediately, they won't happen. They will happen. That's my point that I'm trying to get to. They will happen. The results from executing devotional service in a devotional mood, even a small little desire to serve Krishna, that will happen. The weaver in Lord Ram's pastimes, he had a desire to offer personally the result, with his own hands, some clothes that he made, and it came to pass gradually. So Krishna, because Krishna fulfills those desires, he fulfills those desires. So I find it particularly very encouraging. In Bhanu Swami Maharaj's translation of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, on the translation to this verse that I'm referring to, of how the results happen to some immediately, or he explains that the result of performing bhakti is prema. That's rati or bhava. That's the result. Sometimes there's material benedictions, just like sometimes material benedictions are offered, but those are secondary results or secondary or lesser boons for someone who's materialistically inclined, so that they're encouraged to keep going. They're encouraged to partake in devotional service. So just, and we see in these circumstances of particular, I'm thinking of Sudama, the garland maker, he prayed. He had such beautiful prayers. You remember the boons that Sudama prayed for? Ira remembers, I think. Do you remember now still that Sudama, the garland maker, prayed for? Okay, what's one of them? Oh, Ira's telling us. Shh, excuse me. Steady love, unflinching love, steady love, and Sesha Prabhu? Association with devotees, and the third one? Do you remember the third one, Ira Prabhu? You told me the other day.
Yes.
Prahlad. From your prayers of Prahlad, similar?
Compassion
to all living entities. So that's what he prayed for. Sudama prayed for those. That was his prayer for benediction. And the Lord granted that. But then he also granted him other things. Now, who remembers those other things? The other things, the side benefits. A long life. And another thing that was very attractive when I read it was not his senses wouldn't deteriorate as he got old. Horrible, right? And he also granted him ever increasing opulence for himself and his family. So he got other things. But those were, and so those, for someone, those might seem very attractive. But those weren't the primary benediction. Ooh, it's cell phone day. Sometimes they have fines of $25 if a cell phone goes off. Okay, anyway. We would give it to Krishna. So there's often boons granted throughout the Bhagavatam. But those, and they don't seem like they're directly related to bhakti, devotional service. So they're the secondary thing. Oh, sorry. So I was telling you that Srila Jiva Goswami, in his purport, says that the result of bhakti is rati. And materialistic boons are offered to attract people who have a materialistic tendency so that they'll keep going on in service. And then he says, though this process of bhakti is easy to perform, it gives results that no other process can do. It gives the result of pure love of God. No other process can give that result. And it's so easy to perform. It's so amazing when you study the yoga ladder in Bhagavad Gita, and you see the result and how difficult it is to perform Astanga yoga properly, or Jnana yoga properly, or all the different types of yoga, all the different processes of bona fide processes of self-realization. What does Krishna say? Klesho, dikaritas, stesha. They're just, all you get is a difficult process. You don't get bhakti from those, per se. But from performing devotional service, which is very easy to perform, bhakti is bestowed gradually, gradually. So I was quite appreciative of yesterday's very encouraging class. And I wanted to speak on the same encouraging lines, because as the days go by in the performance of our devotional service, sometimes we forget that that's coming. It's just now coming. It's just a question of time. The unripe mango and the ripe mango. It's not that much time. It just seems that way. It's just our perception of time. So we have to have a different perception of time and be hopeful and look hopefully towards the future, when that day will be ours, when we're all blissfully, totally, 100% absorbed in serving Krishna as he likes, with all of our being, and whatever way that is. One other thing that Srila Jiva Goswami mentions in the end of that purport there, he says that the taste that one gets from serving Krishna is a little different according to which form of Krishna that they're serving or what their relationship with Krishna is. So there's all those different tastes there, but they're all part of the process and the result of that process. So that's all I have to say. You have any comments or questions or clarifications? Surprisingly, Madan Mohan Prabhu has his hand up. Or whomever. Or, don't worry, we'll go with Madan Mohan, then we'll go back to him too. So then Sesha Prabhu.
Thank you for such a wonderful class. I was thinking about the point about having that desire and expressing that desire and then getting it fulfilled. So do we need to mentally articulate that, or was it just our general chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna knows, Bhava Grahi, Janard, and what, and it'll just develop? Or should we think, it's hard to even think about what, to formulate that.
We should, one doesn't even have to, just like from my understanding in this story of Bali Maharaj, when Vamanadeva appeared in the sacrificial arena of Bali Maharaj, whoever her name was, I don't remember, was his her sister, who when she saw Vamanadeva, she thought, oh, I would love to have him as my son. He's so cute. And then when Vamana did his thing with Bali Maharaj and took all his wealth and then tied him up with Vasuki or whomever it was that he tied him up with, she thought, if I had a son like that, I'd kill him. So from my understanding, that was just in her heart. I don't know if she articulated it. So then she came as Putana. Hare Krishna. But, yeah. So, but, again, what I didn't mention, and I didn't want to... So what about all the negative things that we think about? Hare Krishna. You know what I mean? All those negative things that we think of. Fortunately, in this age of Kali, Krishna's very kind to us, because unless a negative thought is executed, you don't get the karma just from the thought. But we know the scientific process that's described in Bhagavad Gita: from thinking comes feeling, comes willing, and then it's, you're just down the road in action. And so you should think all positive thoughts about Krishna and try to articulate them also. Sesha Prabhu?
Thank you. Well, Nanda, you were talking about the Garga Samhita and the history of the past lives of those devotees, and it indicated that they were doing the same type of service in each instance. You know, there was a weaver, and he was a weaver, and he was a weaver later. Is that characteristic of how we will meet Krishna or perfection, that there's that kind of connection? What you were doing then, you know, what you're doing now?
That's a good question that I've also wondered. But I think you should remember that question and ask somebody who's really advanced, who knows the answer to that. I don't know the answer to that scripturally. I have plenty of opinions, but this isn't the seat where you give opinions. Does anyone else have anything they would like to add to that or clarify that? Well, okay. We have natures. We have different natures. But still, you figure we've had so much karmic mix in our mix that I don't really know. But, yeah, I don't know. Pundarik, was that a...
Probably even an example of some kind of... I don't know the name, some Indian name he gave, Teka or something.
Oh,
like
the Deki machine? Teki?
Yeah.
Oh, that's true.
Husking rice or something like that. Does the spirit goes to heaven?
What's it going to do in heaven? It's going to go tick,
same
tick,
thing.
Tick, tick. Oh, that's a good one.
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know if that was general or.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Yeah. Chirikram Prabhu?
Well, whatever service we engage now is for purification, but as we become fully purified and stated, our constitutional position will be revealed to us, you know, Swami Dongling. But at this point, it's not really characteristics of our eternal service, you know, it's like that. Also, one point I wanted to make is with Kubja, whatever desire she had for the Lord, however she wanted, whether it was lustful or whatever, is stated. She took the Lord's lotus feet and put it on her breast, and all her desires were immediately pacified, whatever desires. You know, you remember that incident? Yeah. See, whatever desire she had, however it was, if she had wanted an intimate association or whatever, she took his lotus feet, touched her breast, and...
Thanks for that comment, because that reminds me of actually that's the boon that Krishna gives. That was my reference. Thank you, Krishna. Thank you, Krishna. So the fifth canto, fifth canto, there's a verse that's also mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita, paraphrasing Chaitanya Charitamrita, where the Lord says, if somebody is unintelligent and prays to the Lord for a material benediction, The Lord says, well, if I'm so intelligent, why should I give this person something that they're going to come back and pray to me for another benediction? Rather, better that I give him my devotional service and all his desires will be eradicated and only the desire to serve Krishna will remain, which is just the point that you were making. So I appreciate that. I forgot my own reference. Thanks. So that's there. That's the boon of bhakti. The whole point of bhakti is to come from sakama, full of desires, to desire to serve Krishna, akama, sakama. So there's akama, sarva kama, ova, moksha kama, udaradi. That's second canto Bhagavatam. It doesn't matter what state one's in. If one is free from all material desires and in an impersonal type of oneness, but if one is full of all material desires, or if one just desires, whatever state you're in, we should worship Krishna. Because what will happen is that by worshiping Krishna, however meagerly, but hopefully that will become gradually purified to be intense, tivrena bhakti yogena, intensely serving Krishna, it'll become purified so that it will become like that intense ray of Vishnu. Jai. Prabhu? Hari Parayana Prabhu?
I was just remembering my initial early days of Krishna consciousness when I was skeptical of everything, and I came across Ekadashi Vrata in the descriptions where each Vrata gives you X pounds of gold and X pounds and Y pounds of silver. And then on the one hand you would hear these things, on the other hand you would hear that bhakti is unmotivated and everything. And so I asked Sakshi Gopal Prabhu about this, thinking that there would be no answer. But Srila Prabhupada's moment is the answer. So if you count the amount of pots of gold that would be required to buy properties of ISKCON across the globe. So, and then the other thing is that for Prabhupada, these pots of gold were means for spreading Krishna consciousness.
Yeah.
So even though they might appear secondary for the pure devotee, they're actually primary because he's using them in Krishna's service.
Yeah, well, thank you for that. I would just add that with or without the pots of gold, the pure devotee would still be empowered to serve, but that you are. Anyway, thank you. Anything else, Lakshmi Mata? Okay. Jai, thank you very much. Grantarashima Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Hare Krishna.